other side of our small pile of groceries. It was clear, even to me, that this was all the money we had. The lady scouted us over her dime store readers and then announced, in a tone that made my mom straighten her back, we were still a couple dollars short. What sticks with me most about that moment is the look on my mother's face as she pleaded with that woman for a little bit of grace. I was only 4 years old, but I knew what sadness looked like. I didn't know the words, but I also knew what pride and shame and desperation looked like. I remember looking up at this woman who seemed to have the power to decide whether or not we would have enough to eat that week, and the expression on her face was anything but kind. If the bottom hadn't fallen out of the construction industry in 2008, I'd probably still be sitting behind a desk in Indianapolis. For years, I had been daydreaming about moving to another city and starting my own business, but I had learned from experience to keep those fantasies to myself. Whenever I shared one of my ideas with friends or my family, I was always met with the same blank expression. For as long as I could remember, I had been marching to a different beat than everyone around me, and by then, I was resigned to the idea that it was me who was out of step. Then, one sunny August afternoon, a few months after I had been given the promotion I thought I wanted, my boss walked into my office and told me the company was going under. He shook my hand and thanked me for all my hard work and handed me a severance check for $1,000. I knew that I should have been devastated, or at the very least, seriously concerned about my immediate financial security. But all I could feel in that moment was this huge sense of relief. I didn't have any idea what I wanted to do with my life, but I knew for damn sure that I didn't want to spend it sitting in that office. My first thought was, I'm going to Nashville. A college buddy of mine had moved down there to be with his girlfriend, who was working for the Country Music Hall of Fame. It was just a 4.5-hour drive from Indianapolis, so I had gone down to visit him a couple of times in the last year and had fallen in love with the city. I had expected Nashville to be this honky-tonk town populated by cowboy boot-wearing good old boys, but it turned out to be a vibrant city full of musicians, artists, athletes, and entrepreneurs looking to make their mark on the world. It struck me as this place where people from all walks of life come to pursue their dreams. I wasn't sure what dream I was chasing or what I would do for work when I got there, but I figured nothing could feel worse than slowly suffocating behind a desk in Indiana. That same day, I drove to my parents' house and announced, I'm moving to Nashville and I'm going to start a t-shirt company. Not surprisingly, their reaction was, are you insane? What do you know about selling t-shirts? Much less starting a business. Like any typical 20-something who experiences pushback from his parents, after presenting his questionable life plan, their doubt became fuel for the fire in my belly, even though I was only about 70% sure I would prove them wrong. Their skepticism was actually pretty understandable. I had absolutely no idea how to go about starting a business. I had a degree in broadcast journalism, but had abandoned that career path after a brief stint working for the ESPN affiliate in Indianapolis. It was a dream internship. But it became clear to me when Kobe Bryant scored 81 points against the Toronto Raptors that broadcast journalism wasn't what I wanted to do with my life. I had gone into work the next morning and everyone in the office was going crazy. After all, it was the second most prolific single game scoring performance in NBA history. I remember looking around at the frenzy of activity and feeling like I just didn't care the way everyone else did. I realized that I loved sports, but I didn't want to spend my life talking about sports stats. I remember at that moment thinking, I want to do work that matters and make a real difference in people's lives. So, full of the idealism of a kid fresh out of college, I quit that internship and went to work for a Christian summer camp in Michigan, and then landed in a leadership role at the YMCA in Indianapolis. I didn't yet know what my purpose was, but I figured working with kids was a good place to start. I spent the next couple of years subsisting on a nonprofit salary while my college buddies worked their way up the corporate ladder. After a while, I began to feel like I was getting